Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest. I repeat, the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Sam Bushman on the road, but I got a lot of interviews, a lot of clips, a lot of killer stuff going on today. A quick recap of yesterday's show starts it all. We talked to our guest, Jason Preston, and his wife, Alexia. And Jason Preston is a candidate for the Utah 3rd District. And we sure hope he wins. PrestonForCongress.com to learn more about his candidacy. We talked about from Facebook to Meta, a new name with the same old problems. CNET even highlights that reality check. So you can expect nothing more from Facebook except for them to try to get out of Dodge legally and then to try to come back and abuse us even more, even harder. Look out, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about this incredible article called Pastor, Do Champions of Socialism Realize That Karl Marx Actually Held a Deep Belief in God? The Epic Times with the article, and it really is pretty interesting. Karl Marx, the father of scientific socialism, once wrote that he knew that he was born to God, but he wrote that he was chosen for hell. Don't know what that means, just know that he knows and believes in God. He did when he was on the earth, and he understands it, but he swore his life as an enemy of God. Author and radio host Dr. David Jeremiah said, in fact, Karl Marx was a cheerleader for the devil. He explained of his research, which he said has given him a new way of analyzing the social policies and trends to help Americans understand what's going on in the country now. We're embracing Marxism like you wouldn't believe. But it's not a godless view. It's a we know God and we're against God view. In his book, Dr. Jeremiah describes socialism as a deadly virus that is quietly spreading throughout our nation and is far more lethal than COVID-19, but he warned that most Americans are unaware of the threat that it poses to our way of life. Amen to that reality check. One of his, that's Marx's key phrases, is to wipe God out of heaven and capitalists off the face of the earth. That was his twofold program. There's a lot of university people that are captivated by that idea. Dr. Jeremiah also commented that the church is not free of socialism either. Some people are claiming to be practicing Christians and socialists, but his claim is that's impossible. They're incompatible. There's no biblical basis whatsoever for socialism in the Old Testament or the New Testament, because socialism is totally at the opposite end of the spectrum of what it means to be a God-fearing person. Anyway, great stuff. That was all in hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had guest on Olivia Dawn, doing a great job sharing her personal experience, the tale of January 6th in Washington, D.C. The reason we have her on so late in the game, you say, well, Sam, that's been like 11 months ago, dude. Don't you get it? Yeah, I get it. I also get that she really highlights a very important first-hand eyewitness testimony. Olivia Dawn and her mother, Tina Horlocker, were there live on January the 6th, and they talked about how the mood was peaceful, the mood was festive, the mood was jovial, and it felt good. The message was right. when President Trump spoke, et cetera. It was incredible. And then after the fact, they went to the Capitol, and everything started to unravel with a few provocateurs. They saw the mood change when those provocateurs came out of nowhere. Okay, so they really provided a powerful testimony that most people did not take over the January 6th event in a hostile or a treasonous or a insurrectionist kind of way. That isn't true at all. And so Olivia Dawn provides a firsthand eyewitness about those who were intentionally inciting trouble and violence and et cetera. It was the very few who destroyed it for the rest. And the Democrats don't want to hear that. All they want to do is barbecue everybody over it. Did you know that China's plagued with the history of pandemics? Stephen Mosher, Population Research Institute, pop.org, breaks that down for us. Very, very scary indeed, but you can expect more and more plagues coming out of China. They got a history of it at the point. Why Fauci and people from our end of the spectrum are involved with the communist Chinese on this? Now, that's another real criminal question you got to ask and dig into, but why Fauci is not behind bars? Is because the government, the Republicans, and the Democrats, the deep state, don't want him behind bars. That's why. Otherwise, he would be behind bars for his criminal activity regarding the plagues and the pandemics coming out of communist China. All right, we had our guest on as well, Mike Miller, Warriors for Ranchers, doing a phenomenal job. He lives about 40 miles off the Texas border, and he's doing a great job exposing what's going on with the border and doing his best to try to protect families and ranchers. WarriorsForRanchers.com. Warriors for Ranchers is a 501c3 organization, and their job is to help support ranchers financially speaking when property is damaged, etc., providing relief to farmers and ranchers. All right, they have a lot of expenses to protect the border since the government will not, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Miller, WarriorsForRanchers.com, doing a great job. We'll have him back soon, ladies and gentlemen, because he really highlights a critical point. Understanding the border crisis is key to understanding how and why the enemies of liberty are using the border to turn America into a flat-out communist nation. Anyway, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. It's still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, donate liberally. Every penny you give us will be used to grow our presence in the media. Libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. All right, I guess Republican Glenn Youngkin, projected winner in governor race for Virginia. So that's very interesting. Glenn Youngkin. Now, I've had email after email after email. Glenn versus this whacked out Terry McAuliffe person, extreme Democrat. You know, here's the sad part. You got to support the Republicans to a great degree over the Democrats, because one is just flat out in your face crazy, like a Joe Biden, an Ocasio-Cortez, a Maxine Waters, a Nancy Pelosi, a Hillary Clinton. I mean, you can name them all. Chuck Grassley. These people, okay, they're crazy. They're over the top, flat out Bernie Sanders. They're perverted. They're socialist. They're just extreme. And so what we find ourselves doing is saying, well, let's go to the common sense normal person like a Donald Trump. Well, like this new guy, Glenn Youngkin, you know, let's go for some of these conservative candidates. And comparatively, I guess, they're not crazy. You look at the administration under Joe Biden, and it's in-your-face socialism, in-your-face tyrannical. Donald Trump wasn't like that at all. Okay, so we see a massive contrast between the Republicans and the Democrats on one hand. That's kind of the public image one hand that I speak of. Policy-wise, it's true, too. There's a big difference. But understand something very critical that I want you to really understand. There are very few candidates that would really change the direction of the republic. Okay, the Democrats go hard in the paint, if you will, for socialism and communism and just flat out against everything we hold dear. The Republicans, on the other hand, they don't go hard in the paint for it. It's not in your face. It's more of a, well, they're not really going to right the country, but they're just not going to be so hardcore about their delivery. You say, what are you talking about, Sam? Well, no real change is made under the Republicans. Every time they gain power, they tell you they're going to make massive change, and they make very little change. Okay. So I'll give you some examples to kind of illustrate this point. You know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a big promotion of the Democrats to put gays in the military. And the Republicans rioted about it, just had a cow about it. But then 20 years later, when the Democrats get more radical and want more crazy in-your-face gay and lesbianism, then the Republicans are like, oh, no, we gotta back up and support Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's where it is. Can't just get crazy and in-your-face promote gay and lesbian and bisexual transgenderism. We gotta support the Don't Ask, Don't Tell idea. That's way better. Well, they've been led down a primrose path of deception, ladies and gentlemen. All they are is the Johnny-come-lately of the Republicans' yesteryear radicalism. See what I'm talking about? We don't have any real Republicans or real constitutionalists that would write the Republic. So Donald Trump is a good guy. He did a lot of good in office, but yet at the same time, he didn't change much. Oh, he got us out of the climate change accord. But then, hey, Joe Biden just put us right back in. He stood for pro-life better than any other president. That's great, but we still have the murder of babies wholesale in America today, funded by our tax dollars, funding Planned Parenthood and pro-death everywhere, right? So I'm not downing individuals, a Donald Trump or this person or that person, but I want to give you a warning about this new quote, hey, it's incredible, in Virginia we got a new governor that's a good guy, Glenn Youngkin. Let's talk about it. Can he really make a difference? You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live, hard hitting talk at your fingertips. Sorry for my audio, I'm on the road. Thanks for being alongside with the ride, and hard hitting talk does march on. So we're talking about Republicans and how, you know what, they're not as whacked out and crazy and in your face and belligerent and as the Democrats are, but the Republicans aren't really ready to turn the country around either. And I gave you several examples to make the point. Over and over and over, we have the Republicans caving to the Democrat ideology to some degree or another. Just take health care for a great example. Hey, they were going to get rid of that over and over and over. Man, it was Obamacare. It was out of control. But, hey, man, Mitt Romney, one of the chief Democrats, sad to say one of the senators in my state, literally it's as much Romney care as Obamacare. The first state to really back government health care was Massachusetts, led by Governor Mitt Romney. So, see, that's kind of what I mean. The Republicans talked about abolishing it when they had the House. Control of the House, they voted over and over and over and over to abolish it. But then when they really got in power, nah, See what I mean? They're just too socialist as well. They're not in your face about it. But so the real point is they don't change the nature. They don't change the direction of the country really at all. They just don't go as hard in the paint in your face to take away your rights. That's all. Right? So that's kind of the problem with the Republicans. The reason I bring all this up at this juncture, at this time, is because we're being told that, hey, you know what? You got to have the Republicans in 2022, man. Got to take back the House. Or in 2024, got to have Donald Trump be president. Or, hey, this is really incredible, man. You know what? Projected winner in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. Man, it's going to really make a difference there. And I pray that it does. And I think to some degree that it will. But nobody's ready to change the tenor, the direction of the country at all. Real candidates that would jettison the problems in America, they're not going to be elected, folks. And if they are, they're going to be up against every effort to destroy everything they've ever tried to do. Right? So the Democrats, for example, were for border walls and border fences. I can play clips from Hillary Clinton and a lot of the Democrats. Hey, they were all for a border wall. They're all against illegal immigration, et cetera, over the years. But now they're blatantly for illegal immigration. They're blatantly, they're saying, hey, if you steal a car and you're an illegal immigrant, problem is you just borrowed an undocumented vehicle. That's all you did. You didn't have a contract to borrow it. Okay. They're just going off the rails crazy. But the Republicans aren't doing much about it. What are the Republicans doing on the border? Remember, it was Donald that wanted to build the wall on the border, and I'm not for building a wall necessarily either, but I'm just making a point that the Republicans just babbled and talked, and they didn't do much about health care. When they got the chance to reverse it, they didn't. Border, they didn't do much about it. They talked and babbled. But look, you got Republican governors across the country. They're not doing a whole lot about the border. So I hope that Glenn Youngkin really does a lot of good, but I don't really see it. I see him in a sea of feckless Republicans that talk big when it's time to try to get elected. And well, they literally jettison all their quote governing values when it's time to govern from Trump on down. You know, Trump was going to get to the bottom of the Barack Obama birth certificate, man. We got to have the truth on that sucker. And then he became president, had the authority to do something, and nothing happened. Nothing. Why? So I appreciate the platitudes of Republicans, but I don't really see it in the 2022 election, 2024 election. I don't really see anybody that would really change the nature of the country. If we really want to change the nature of the country, why don't we represent, have a Ron Paul or some of these kind of leaders really become elected? Because Americans aren't there yet. As long as they've got their creature comforts, as long as you've got bread and circus, they're going to continue down that same road, aren't they? Yes, indeed they are, because the deep state is so pervasive, it's so overwhelming, it's so in your face that the Republicans, most of them, just simply cannot resist. Okay, let's just take the January 6th event. Hey, where are the Republicans that defend the patriots that stood up and said, look, listen, we've got to have accountability on elections here, and we need Congress really to look into this? The answer is the Republicans abandoned the patriots in 2 seconds over a false flag operation. And even when the Republicans got called out by the Democrats said, hey, some Republican congressmen and senators literally helped the insurrection happen. So they were even being accused, but they still just jettisoned it. Okay, we should have basically stood tall and said, no, this was a planned provocateur event by the few, betraying the many. We're not going to tolerate that. Let's get to the bottom of the truth. But we don't have any real investigation into the January 6th. I don't hear Republicans howling about that very much. I just hear them saying, well, I didn't really do it. Don't blame me. But I don't hear anybody defending the patriots, the majority of the people that were there that were peaceful. I don't hear any of the Republicans really speaking out, saying, hey, we got to get the 14,000 hours or whatever it is of recordings and really have somebody dig through those and find out what the heck really went down. Was the FBI involved? Were they complacent in this? Did the FBI have provocateurs and seated elements within the, quote, insurrectionist groups? And did they push for the insurrection? Did they act as leaders and provocateurs? And so, that's what happened to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, folks. With Ammon Bundy and crew, hey, infiltrated. And then when it all came down, Ammon Bundy guilty and nothing, but yet we still can't find out who the provocateurs were. Although we know they existed, the government admitted they existed, but we couldn't get their names in the court cases. So anyway, I digress, but I'm just telling you, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in 2022, 2024 with the Republicans at all. From Donald Trump on down, you give Donald Trump another term as president, what will he do? Just reverse Biden's climate change thing and say we're out of the agreement again? What is he going to do? Go and come to Utah and say I'm going to decrease the Malheur, or not the Malheur, the Escalante Monument. I'm going to decrease that, and then all of a sudden Biden, the next bureaucrat, Democrat, rolls in and says, hey, I'm going to increase it again. We're going to talk about pro-life but never really change any policies, right? I do appreciate Texas and their effort for pro-life, and I commend them for it. But at the same time, there's some problems with that legislation. What are the problems? Well, ratting on your neighbor, for starters. I'm not for abortions, but I'm also not for people calling in their neighbors or whoever else to their governments necessarily. All right, but you know what? It's getting bad, and people are starting to see more of the truth. Actress Hilary Swank, for example, flees California for Colorado. See, she wants to leave this liberal, whacked out, extreme state of California. She wants to go to Colorado. That's great. Colorado's a little bit more conservative of a state. But again, Colorado's on the same trajectory as California is. You get a bunch of whacked out liberals moving from California to Colorado, and they'll destroy Colorado too. You see, some of the rich people, actors, actresses, famous people, whatever, and they all want to flee the carnage they've created. And then they just want to create carnage somewhere else with their same policies. They don't connect the dots and get it. That there is such a thing as cause and effect, right? They don't get that. Why? Can't tell you. They just don't. It's shocking. All right, anyway, that's interesting. Actress Hilary Swank flees California for Colorado. Very interesting indeed. All right, Alan Jackson is in the news, and this is a story that's a couple of months old, but I wanted to mention it. It's a sad tale for Mr. Alan Jackson, and in my opinion, he's one of the greatest country artists to ever live. And the guy's just got a beautiful voice, been in country music for quite a long time, prolific in the number of songs that he's been involved in and everything else. Just wow. Anyway, it turns out that Alan Jackson says, quote, here's why I stumble on stage. Country music star reveals that he now has a degenerative nerve disease. Anyway, this is kind of interesting in my opinion. Alan Jackson has known for a decade that he has a degenerative nerve disease. I know I'm stumbling around on stage and I'm having trouble balancing even in front of the microphone. I feel uncomfortable and I want people to know that's exactly what's going on with me. I've got a problem and I want you to understand it. He's had it for a decade until it started to show up. He didn't really want to share it. It was kind of a private piece of information. But now he wants to share with everybody why, so that they understand. He made the revelation about, and I'm going to try to get this disease right, Charcot-Marie tooth disease, which is hereditary. He got it from his daddy, he says. And comparing the disorder to muscular dystrophy or Parkinson's or something like that, it's not going to kill me, Jackson said, but it's going to slowly but surely disable me eventually. The progressive disease damages the nerves that supply the feet, legs, hands, and arms. And so anyway, it's kind of a sad tale. And I bring this up because I really admire Alan Jackson. And I really admire that he wants to continue to play on stage. He says, listen, even with this disease, I want to be like other stars in the past who just play whatever and however they want. And they just do the very best they can. His wife, Denise, says he's going to continue making music and leave songs of legacy for families and for the future. And, you know, I think he does a great job. And I'm sad that he has to stumble around on stage and everything else, but I hope that a kind audience can let him maybe just sit down and or do whatever he needs to do to continue to perform. It won't be as awesome of a concert, but maybe it'll be more memory-making, if you will. Our prayers are with Alan Jackson. I know that story came out a couple of months ago, but I wanted to highlight it on your radio. Quick pause. I am Sam Bushman.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The people have spoken in Virginia. Republican Glenn Youngkin defeated Democrat Terry McAuliffe in the Virginia governor's race.
We will change the trajectory of this commonwealth. And friends, we are going to start that transformation on day one.
Governor-elect Youngkin is a businessman with degrees from Rice and Harvard Universities. He will assume the position January 15, 2022. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky greenlit the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. That is the final step in the approval process that makes coronavirus vaccines available to younger children as soon as Friday. In baseball, the Atlanta Braves beat the Houston Astros 7-0 to win the World Series in Houston, Texas on Tuesday night. USA Radio News.
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from Simply Safe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, Simply Safe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Get free shipping with the order of a new system at simplysafe.com today.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
The gubernatorial race in New Jersey remained too close to call. Both candidates held off declaring victory, saying they'll wait until every vote is counted. Minneapolis, Minnesota voters on Tuesday rejected a ballot measure to overhaul the city's police department. The measure called for replacing MPD with a new Department of Public Safety. It was rejected by voters with 56% against the measure. How much is the turkey going to be this year at Thanksgiving?
There are concerns the current supply chain backlog is having an impact on prices for goods, particularly food for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. Butterball president and CEO Jay Jandrain, speaking on Fox Business, says companies like his have no control over the prices set for turkeys.
It is reasonable to expect that there will be some increase in costs this year. You're still looking at a pretty tremendous value, though, when you're looking at your whole bird purchase for Thanksgiving. So it's still a very economical protein for you to buy.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues on your radio now. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much news that's just shocking. And there's so many stories that I never get to that I'm trying to highlight right now. So our prayers with Alan Jackson. Late-night host Jimmy Kimmel wishes death on the unvaccinated, and he stands against ivermectin. Now, this is a story that came out quite some time. I think it was like, was it Memorial Day or whatever it came out? When is that? August, September, early September. So, you know, it's almost, I guess it's 2 months old of a story. But I want to play a little clip from it because this is just how hostile these liberals really are to the rest of us. And if I were to say the things that liberals get away with saying, they would literally have my head. The FBI would be at my door, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what they say is criminal and abusive and hostile and hate-filled. And I think we need to have a clarion call for civility. I'd like to have Jimmy Kimmel come on the radio with me and talk about it. Why are you so being so abusive and in the face of conservatives and people who don't want to take the vaccines and everything else? But he doubles down. Late-night host Jimmy Kimmel literally wishes death on the unvaccinated, and he just mocks ivermectin until the cows come home. But when did anybody ever ask Jimmy Kimmel, what about Congress taking ivermectin? 100 to 200 members of Congress, their staffs, and their families taking ivermectin. But yet they tell us it's nothing but horse dewormer, horse poop. Don't take it. Come on. You're not a horse. You're not a cow kind of stuff. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
Labor Day. It was not a fun Labor Day weekend COVID-wise. The number of new cases is up more than 300% from a year ago. Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices.
Sorry, I said Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's Labor Day. I can't remember which is which ever. Memorial Day, Labor Day. Memorial Day is the start of the summer kind of stuff. Labor Day is the end of the summer. Anyway, so it was a Labor Day. So it was a couple of months ago. But again, we're going to play this from the start. But I want to just highlight, this is where he highlights these cases. Now the cases are going down, down, down everywhere. But you don't hear these liberals mentioning that reality check either. But anyway, here he is. I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
I hope you had a relaxing Labor Day. It was not a fun Labor Day weekend COVID-wise. The number of new cases is up more than 300% from a year ago. Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. I don't, that choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what he just said? He just said, hey, if you're vaccinated, come on in. We'll take right good care of you. If you're not vaccinated, sorry, Wheezy, rest in peace. You're dead. We don't care. It's one thing for a whacked out extreme liberal to say these kind of things, but the crowd claps and laughs and likes it. Do they think this is a joke, ladies and gentlemen? Imagine if I were to advocate for liberals. Hey, you're conservative, come on in, we'll take care of you. Liberal, rest in peace, you sorry sap. Is that acceptable? I don't think so. What if I were to say that about blacks? What if I were to say that about whites? What if I were to say that about conservatives? See, we've allowed this vaccination status to literally divide America. The unvaccinated are flat out being persecuted. It gets worse. Here he goes.
We've still got a lot of pandimwits out there. People are still taking this ivermectin. This poison, you know, the poison control centers have seen this spike in calls from people taking this livestock medicine to fight the coronavirus, but they won't take the vaccine, which is crazy. It's like if you're a vegan and you're just like, no, I don't want a hamburger. Give me that can of Alpo instead. One of the reasons these sea biscuits.
All right, this guy is nuts on parade. He's crazy. The vaccinations, ladies and gentlemen, are not safe, not proven, and not effective. They're under emergency status, if you don't realize. They've even literally now approved it for children. But yet it's still not an approved vaccine. Oh, yes, it is, Sam. They approved it weeks ago, months ago. Don't you know that? No, you're lying to me now. Stop it. The approval process is for a vaccine that none of us can get yet. There are not stockpiles or stores of the vaccine that's been approved. Oh, no, Sam, they just changed the names. Don't lie to me. I'm not Judge Judy, okay? The fact is, it is not available. They are different. There's different patent numbers. There's different details. It's not identical, and to pretend it is an absolute dishonest lie. Now take this situation with ivermectin. He acts like it's not proven, it's not safe and effective, and that people all across the country, oh my gosh, they're calling poison control because people are just getting sick from horse poop goop. Excuse me, horse poop goop. It isn't true. In fact, when that claim was made to some hospitals, the hospitals came out and flat out said it isn't true. That's not happening to us. Okay, ivermectin has been safe and effective for years, ladies and gentlemen. It has been considered a wonder drug. The creators of it literally have been given like Peace Prize stuff for their discovery of this. So, Jimmy, you're just lying, and you're comparing something that's not comparable. A time-tested medication that's been on the market for decades that has literally been written up in the CDC, the WHO, everywhere, as a wonder drug. And then they would say, well, Sam, that's for deworming. That's not for COVID. It's an off-use medication. I know, but doctors do that all the time. What would you rather have, a proven, safe, and effective off-use medication or a emergency use scientific experiment? Which would you rather have? See, that's the kind of the debate, but he mocks everybody He's wishing death on them, then he's mocking them, but he's not even using true evidence to do so. He continues.
Sir, opting for ivermectin is because they don't trust Big Pharma, which is fine, I guess, except for the fact that ivermectin is made by Merck, which is the fourth largest pharmaceutical company in the world. And even Merck is telling people to cut it out. They released a statement saying ivermectin has no scientific basis for potential therapeutic effect against COVID. There's no meaningful evidence for clinical activity or clinical efficacy in patients with COVID-19 disease. And there's a concerning lack of safety data in the majority of studies. Listen, if a pharmaceutical company says, please don't take the drug we're selling, you should probably listen to them. Or you could just go with a tick.
Now he lies again. So he says we just don't trust Big Pharma. Well, many of us don't trust Big Pharma. It's obvious why. But Big Pharma makes two drugs, ladies and gentlemen. They make the, what, Merck makes ivermectin? Fine. You can get it for, I don't know, $30 for a prescription. They also make the vaccines. Yeah. They also make other medications they're trying to get approved that cost a lot more money than ivermectin. So, yes, the big pharma groups make both those medications. But the frontline doctors have proven time and time again with all kinds of studies that are being ignored. In fact, they've even testified before Congress on this fact. But the ivermectin has been safe and effective, has been truly a miracle drug, as Dr. Pierre Corey put it, as he testified before Congress, representing thousands of frontline doctors, not just one, not two, thousands. All right, but which is the pharmaceutical companies going to press? A drug that they can hardly make any money on? Or their vaccinations, continuing their experiments on a population that may or may not be willing, that's forced into the experimentation, at literally hundreds of times the cost? Which is the big pharma company going to do, Jimmy Kimmel, huh? So don't mock us and pretend like there's no validity to our side of the arguments. I can have respect for your views, but not when you wish death on us. Then I've got to draw the line and say, stop it already. Stop it. Some people might be taking, out of desperation, life and death desperation, ivermectin, which you mock as horse goop. Okay? But they're doing it to save their own lives because the medical industry is not coming to the knowledge of the truth. But then you mock us in our face and wish death on us and mock us relentlessly. How dare you? How dare you do that? If I were to do that, as I started out this segment, what would they be doing to me if I were to wish death on others? I don't wish death on anybody. I'm pro-life, and even the Jimmy Kimmels of the world, I don't wish any harm to come to him whatsoever. All right, he continues here. It gets worse.
Talk posted by a disgraced veterinarian instead. Meanwhile, these poor horses are like, hey, I have worms. I need that stuff. There are worms in my butt. Do you understand?
That's the kind of mocking I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, we understand clearly that the medical profession has turned against the people. We understand that there's a worldwide effort to force these experimental vaccines on all of us. Many of us don't want to take them. Can we have a little bit of respect for that view? After all, this is the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm disappointed in late night host Jimmy Kimmel literally wishing death on the unvaxxed, ladies and gentlemen, mocking those who out of desperation of life and death are considering ivermectin. If it's the abortion people and women can't get, quote, legal safe abortions, then they go out and use a hanger or whatever they use. And then they have a problem. Then they're like, hey, these poor women are just out of desperation using something. They don't mock them. Same with the ivermectin people. The ivermectin people, ladies and gentlemen, are just doing their very best out of desperation to stay alive. By the way, there's a prominent immunologist. I don't know how to say his name. It's Dr. Human Murchisham. Nurchisham. Anyway. Nurchisham. Anyway, he now regrets voting for Joe Biden. He blasts, quote, unscientific, unethical, and illegal vaccine mandates. Art Moore with the story, WND.com. This story came out a little bit ago as well. But now you've got these, again, so this doctor was a great doctor, just above reproach, just incredible accolades everywhere. But now he's standing against Joe Biden and against the forced vaccines, and now he has zero credibility. So that's what they're doing to people, ladies and gentlemen. They're destroying careers and lives all over the country. We stand up and they mock us as conspiracy theorists, eating horse poop, and, you know, it goes on and on. Now you say, well, Sam, they called it a dewormer. They didn't say it was horse poop. I know. But when you say gobbling horse poop and, hey, I got worms in my butt and pretending you're a horse and saying, hey, I need this stuff, quit gobbling it all up and stuff. What are you talking about? That's what we're talking about, is that it's out of control and unacceptable. It literally amounts to persecution of those who won't take the vaccines, those who are against masks, and those who believe alternative healthcare methods should be an option people can choose. That's the real story. Shame on Jimmy Kimmel. And again, I know civility is the issue. That's why I'm trying to be as polite as I can. I don't wish any harm on Jimmy Kimmel. I just wish he would stop that unfair representation of who we are and what we stand for. I know it's funny. I know he gets jokes. I know he makes millions of dollars in this quest. But I would plead for a little bit of civility here, a little bit of kindness and respect. We're about to have a vigil for those who have lost their lives and or who have been permanently harmed from vaccinations. It's coming up tomorrow evening. That's Thursday evening, 5 to 7 p.m., and it's a vigil. It'll be at South Temple and State Street in Salt Lake City. And anyway, we really encourage people to attend that. And we also encourage, if you are not in the area, hold a vigil with your family, with your loved ones in your area as well. We want vigils across the country for those who have really suffered and died from vaccine use. All right, Ron Paul has a weekly update that I want to play for you. Question, will Joe Biden start nuclear war with China over Taiwan? Here's Ron Paul.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the weekly report. Will Biden start nuclear war with China over Taiwan? President Biden's town hall meeting this past week was a disaster. From his bizarre poses to the incoherent answers, it seemed to confirm America's worst fears about a president we are told was elected by the most voters ever. Though he didn't bother campaigning, we are to believe he somehow motivated the most voters in history to pull the lever in his favor, or mail in a ballot in his favor, or something. After the town hall, the Wall Street Journal was early among mainstream media publications to observe that the emperor has no clothes. In an editorial titled "The Confusing Mr. Biden," the paper wrote, "Even with a friendly audience and softball questions, Mr. Biden's performance revealed why so many Americans are losing confidence in his presidency." The journal focused on one of the most shocking and disturbing revelations from the carefully crafted event, asked by CNN's Anderson Cooper if the United States would come to the defense of Taiwan should it come under attack by the Chinese mainland. He replied, "Yes, we have a commitment to do that." Anderson threw him another softball in hopes he might correct this dangerous misstatement. But Biden was not nimble enough to see this gaffe. He doubled down. It was left to the chemical alley of this administration, White House spokesperson Jen Psaki, to clarify that when the president signaled a major shift in U.S. policy, a shift that would lead to nuclear war with China, he was just kidding or something. Said Psaki the next day, "Well, there has been no shift. The president was not announcing any change in our policy, nor has he made a decision to change our policy. There is no change in our policy." In other words, pay no attention to the man who pretends to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States. But this is not George W. Bush, who was elected in 2000 with zero experience in foreign policy. This is not Trump, who campaigned on a policy of peace while hiring John Bolton to carry out that policy. No, Biden has twice been chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Foreign policy has always been considered his one area of competence. Surely the Biden of even the Obama administration would have understood the potentially catastrophic implications of his statement. Strategic ambiguity has been U.S. policy toward Taiwan and China for decades. But the new Biden-China policy could be renamed strategic incoherence. The policy of strategic ambiguity is foolish enough. Who cares who rules Taiwan? But advancing the idea that the United States is willing to launch a nuclear war with China over who governs Taiwan is a whole lot other level of American last foolishness. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, was heralded as a hero for betraying his commander-in-chief, Trump, by seeking to restrict Trump's access to the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Milley claimed that Trump was so unsound of mind that he could not be trusted with the nuclear football. Yet, when actual unsoundness is there for everyone else to see, Milley and the other woke generals are silent as the grave. These are dangerous times in which we live. Thanks for listening.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul doing a phenomenal job highlighting the contrast. This is kind of why I say Republicans are flat out feckless. The deep state just seems to take over, and the Republicans are either too ignorant to stand against it, too fearful to stand against it, and or part of it. I'm sure it's all the above, depending on who we're talking about here. But when Ron Paul's weekly update highlights this, hey, will Biden start a nuclear war with China over Taiwan? Hey, it is a change in policy, at least according to what Biden said. Now, don't get me wrong. Some would say, Sam, you got to defend Taiwan. Come on. Don't you want to defend their freedom? You know what? I want to avoid foreign entanglements, ladies and gentlemen. I want to have a humble foreign policy. Do I care about the Taiwanese? Of course I do. But I also don't think we have rights to breach sovereignty. I don't think we should be funding either sides of no-win wars, immoral no-win wars, with our military might, or with our dollars, We have no authority to take money from taxpayers to fund Taiwan or to promote Taiwan or to arm Taiwan or anything else. And you'd say, Sam, if you have that stance, by golly, you're going to have tyranny. You're going to have the negative governments around the world just take over, and they're eventually going to come to your doors, Sam. And my response is, I don't agree with that at all. A humble foreign policy is the best way to have less war, not more. Arming nations, the good guys, the bad guys, whoever else, becomes a very slippery slope. We provide more arms to more nations in the history of the world than anybody else. How well has that gone for us, ladies and gentlemen? Do we have less war? Yes, Sam, we haven't had war over here for quite some time. You know what? That's right. But we've had war all around the world. We're in over 130 plus nations, militarily speaking. It's got to stop. We've become a warlike people. We love war. We promote warriors. Now, I get when somebody serves their country that we ought to have a thanks in our hearts for them. But we shouldn't treat them as rock stars at every single event on the planet either. Many of them don't feel like rock stars when they go believing in a certain cause. Then they get there and find out that it's not as they were told. They've been betrayed and lied to. They come home going, don't call me a hero. I shouldn't have been there in the first place. What I did was wrong. And then we applaud them as if, and they get up very uncomfortable with this. Many in the military will tell you this. The point being, how do we then applaud this one guy as a hero for undermining Donald Trump as president? But yet now we can't speak up about Joe Biden and what he might do. Might he start a war with China over Taiwan? I pray not. I pray we avoid foreign entanglements. I think we got to lead with love and lead with example and say, you know what, China, you don't want to take over Taiwan. You don't want to be a military bully. You don't want to. And we can lead by kindness and example and say, listen, we want to trade with those who are honorable. We'll give you access to the greatest economic engine in the world if you fly right. That's the message we should be promoting. Let's lead with peace. Let's lead with the Constitution. Let's lead with respecting the other nation's sovereignty. Let's not lead with provoking someone into war. Why would we be talking about Taiwan and saying, hey, we'll defend Taiwan against China in the first place? I don't want Taiwan to fall under the rule of China at all. But I also know there's only so much control internationally we have over that. And if we get ourselves into a foreign entanglement, a war with China, it won't go well for us. Financially speaking, we are right now subservient to the communist Chinese like you would not believe. Okay, we don't make any products in America anymore. We depend on the communist Chinese for literally everything. Starting a war with them would be absolutely political suicide. Getting into war would be a moral snafu, to say the least. Okay, we got to avoid war. I get that we must defend ourselves. I'm not saying peace at all costs. Even God gives us the responsibility to defend our wives and our children and our sacred honors. I get that. But let's let war be the last resort. Let's lead with love and example. Let's try diplomacy as our first effort. Let's try our economic engine and using finances and our wherewithal in the world secondarily. There's a lot of options before war. And literally making off-the-cuff statements publicly and then having your, quote, press secretary walk it all back and say there's no change is a disaster on the world stage. I can promise you that. Hour one in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two coming up, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always on your radio. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website, LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network's website. Donate liberally, will you please? Every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. You can download the iPhone and the Android phone apps to listen anywhere, anytime, live and on demand, as well as follow our Twitter feed and more at LovingLiberty.net. I am Sam Bushman. I declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. You got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.